December 4th, 1979, at 10:30 in the morning, around 400 students from four universities in Tehran climbed up the main gate of the entrance of the U.S. Embassy on Talleyrand Avenue. This marked an indefinite halt to the close relationship between Iran and the U.S. on the day that already reminded Iranians of two atrocities. Conveyed in those days was an indescribable hatred for the behavior of a group of protesting Iranian students whose action was considered contrary to all diplomatic norms. The media was not interested in exploring the reasons why these students reacted in such a way to express against the suppression of democracy in Iran. The first clear signs of the crashing of democracy in Iran may be the crowning of the Shah on September 1941. The British ousted Reza Khan, whose time of tyranny was up, and replaced him with a son. If that does not satisfy the skeptical audience, the coup of August 19, 1953 should leave no doubt for them. After the nationalization of the oil industry by Dr. Mossadegh, which angered Western oil companies and popularized Mossadegh, the Shah found his credibility at risk and opposed Dr. Mossadegh's authority over the war ministry. This made the discord between the Shah and Dr. Mossadegh public. With a new policy that Dr. Mossadegh had applied, oil revenues grew five times in less than 2 years. The British, who had control over Iran's oil for a long period of time, lagged behind in time, and the Shah was kept away from politics by these same policies, resulting in pressuring Dr. Mossadegh's government. Mossadegh wrote a letter to the president of the U.S. and asked for help. The Americans, who were craving for oil, cooperated with the British and double-crossed Mossadegh. The president of the U.S. rejected Dr. Mossadegh after a one-month delay. A month and a half later, Kermit Roosevelt, under the alias of James F. Lukrich, entered Iran through Iraq in order to join Norman Schwarzkopf and two other CIA agents who had come to Iran as diplomats. They planned a coup against Dr. Mossadegh by the help of the army, the intelligence agents of Great Britain, and the hiring of certain mercenaries. The Shah smelled the rat and immediately escaped Iran. But Americans continued the venture and completed the coup despite the fact that the preliminary plan of the coup had been disclosed. Later, on August 19th, after 300 followers of Mossadegh were killed in the streets of Tehran, the government was defeated. The Shah returned to Iran 3 days after that. In this way, the U.S. reached overnight a place where England had reached after a century of hegemony and fraud. The U.S. in this way supported one of its most reliable agents in the region with a long period of tyranny. This way, the U.S. marked the most bitter event in the history of Iran. October 3rd, 1964, Iran's parliament passed an exceptional bill to give indefinite support and immunity to the Americans who were in Iran, a law that was beyond the usual diplomatic immunity and demeaned Iranians. The 60-year-old religious leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini, who was known in those days by his nickname, Hajar Ruhollah, gave a lecture against the ratification of this law.
اگر من به جای اینها بودم این چراغانی ها را من می کردم می گفتم بیرق سیاه بالای سر بازار ها بزنم بالای سر خانه ها بزنم عزت ما پایکوب شد عظمت ایران از بین رفت عظمت ارتش ایران را پایکوب کردم قانونی در مجلس خوردم در آن قانون اولا ما را ملحق کردن به تیمانویت و ثانیان الحاق کردن به تیمانویت مستشاران نظامی که تمام مستشاران نظامی آمریکا با خانواده هاشون با کارمندهای فنیشان با کارمندان اداریشون با خدمشون با هر کس که بستگی اونها دارد اینها از هر جنایتی که در ایران بکنند مسئول هستند اگر یک خادم امریکایی اگر یک آشپز امریکایی مرد تقلید شما را در وسط بازار ترور کند زیر پا منکوب کند پلیس ایران حق ندارد جلو او را بگیرد دادگاه های ایران حق ندارند محاسبه کنند، بازپرسی کنند. باید برد امریکا، اونجا در امریکا ارباب ها تکلیف را معین کنند.
But the Shah replied with exiling him to Turkey and then to Iraq. The exile of Ayatollah Khomeini, who was soon called by people as the Imam, meaning the leader, was the final shock to the monarchy in Iran. It took years, however, to complete. Of the government to the objection of the opposition, which included various classes of society, from the religious to the nationalist and the Marxist, was nothing but violence, imprisonment, torture, and execution. According to one study, in the last 14 months of the Shah's rule, between 10 to 20,000 people were killed in the streets of the capital and other major cities. Tens of thousands of executions and hundreds of thousands of the injured and maimed between the years 1963 and 1978 are some of the consequences of the coup that the American government executed to stabilize and strengthen the Shah's monarchy. That is the fact. The extent of the protests was not limited to Iran. On November 15, 1977, the Shah went to the U.S. to pay a formal visit to Carter, a trip which aimed to gain support from Carter. While Jimmy Carter was greeting his formal guests in the White House, something else was happening out of the White House. Thousands of Iranian students were giving Carter a chance to hear their voice of protest. The wind brought the tear gas, which the police used to disperse demonstrators to the White House. Carter, however, did not want to take these protests seriously.
Thank you very much for your very warm words of welcome. attach utmost importance to our relations with the United States and your friendship for us, because since the beginning of our relations, America has always shown a very unselfish and many times very friendly attitude towards us. We have never had the slightest shadow casting over our relations, and I pray God that this will continue always in the future. Thank you again, Mr. President, for your very warm welcome.
In spite of the surge in suppression, torture, and the arrest of the opposition by the Shah's regime, Carter replied by coming to Tehran. The tragedy of the trip was Carter's fresh defense of the non-democratic stance of the Shah.
Distinguished leader,
Carter had disappointed the Iranians.
Iran, because of the great leadership of the Shah, is an island of stability in one of the more troubled areas of the world. This is a great tribute to you, Your Majesty, and to your leadership, and to the respect and the admiration and love which your people give to you.
As Carter left Iran on January 5th, 1978, a Talaat newspaper published an insulting article that accused Imam Khomeini of being the puppet of Great Britain and responsible for the death of Iranians in June 1963. The next day, clergymen in Qom rallied in protest to the publication of this article. Soldiers fired at the demonstrators, killing 20 to 30 people. This was the beginning of further killings in other cities. September 8, 1978, which is known as Black Friday, the army massacred hundreds of men, women, and children in Jale Square in the southeast of Tehran. Carter's reaction to this tragic event was shocking. Only 2 days later, amid Camp David talks between Egypt and Israel, Carter called up the Shah and informed him of his full support. That was not the end of the story. On November 4, 1978, troops opened fire at the students at Tehran University, killing several of the students. Interestingly, Carter now continued supporting the Shah's new harsh measures, but it was too late.
Trust the Shah to maintain stability in Iran, to continue with the democratization process, and also to continue with the progressive change in the Iranian social and economic structure.
Day after day, the monarchy lost more and more of its control. From the U.S. point of view, containing the situation meant only one method, a coup similar to the one on August 1953. General Heiser was sent to Iran, which reminded the Iranians of Kermit Roosevelt and the CIA agent's arrival. Events unfolded rapidly. 12 days after Heiser's arrival, the Shah escaped to Egypt.
Oh,
was time for the army to restart another round of mass killings. This time, however, Imam Khomeini's leadership and the people's awareness prevented it.